I was able to really enter into that. And when we sing these songs are not perfect sometimes, but the words, some of these people wrote from the heart. And verse 2 right there said, "Thou canst fill me, gracious Spirit, though I cannot tell thee how. But I need thee, greatly need thee. Come, oh come, and fill me now." This is a prayer for worship, a wonderful prayer for worship. Verse 3 said, "I am weakness, full of weakness. At thy sacred feet I bow. Blessed, divine, eternal Spirit, fill with power and fill me now. If you don't fill me, I'm not going to be filled. If you don't help me, I'm not going to be helped." And I pray the Lord will help us and fill us with His Spirit. And let us worship Him one more time. Turn with me now, if you would, to the book of Jude, just before Revelation. Jude, there's only one chapter. This morning we looked at verse 25. Tonight I'd like for us to look at verse 24. And I want us to emphasize one word in it. One word in particular in this verse. Jude, verse 24 says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless." Faultless. "Before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Faultless. That word means without fault. That's what the word means. Without fault. Without fault. What that verse is saying is, Christ is able to remove all fault from us. All guilt. He's able to remove all guilt from us. So that there is nothing left on us and nothing left in us that could bring blame or shame or regret or guilt. He is able to present us faultless. Just think about that line. Just think about that line. The glory of that line. He is able to present us faultless. That's amazing. You talk about the ability of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. He's able. This is what can He do? What has He done? He is able to present us faultless. That's just amazing to me. The gospel is good news. And I don't know about you, but I think that's the best news I've ever heard in my life. I honestly do. I know that you adults know exactly what I'm talking about. I know that you adults do. But you kids, maybe not. You young people, maybe not. I think about this often. You young people, maybe not. Sometimes it takes a little while in life before you do something that you really regret. Sometimes it takes a little while. And sometimes young people don't understand and cannot enter into our absolute conviction and embarrassment over our sin. I'm very sorry to say to everybody that for everybody, that time will come. It's going to come. The reason is because we're all sinners. You know, the children are sinners, just like we, the parents, are sinners. We're all sinners, and sinners sin. That's just what sinners do. We sin daily. We sin all the time. We sin inwardly. We sin outwardly. We sin in deed. We sin in mind. Oh, do we sin in mind? Oh my goodness, do we sin in mind? It is just, this mind is a wicked thing. You know, the scripture says the heart is deceitful above all things. Well, that's everything of the inward man. The mind, just so, so sinful. But even though we sin daily, and we know we sin daily, all of us have things in our lives that have scarred us. All of us. They have cut us so deep. They are things that we have done. Things that as time has gone on, our minds have held on to. Reoccurring memories. You adults know what I'm talking about. Reoccurring memories that are like worms that die not. And every time they work their way back into our minds, we think, oh, not that again. Not that memory again. Not that thought again. Not that remembrance of my sin again. Daily, we know we're sinners. Daily, we do. But there are some regrets that we have that every time they enter back into our minds, we think, if there was any doubt in my mind whether or not I'm a sinner, that settles it. If there was any doubt in my mind on whether or not I'm a good person or a bad person or a... Oh, that concretes it in my soul. I am beyond any shadow of a doubt a vile, wretched, wicked sinner. Do I wish it wasn't so? Oh my goodness, I do. All of God's children have experienced that or will experience that. If God's Holy Spirit comes to a person, He will convince that person that he or she is, beyond any shadow of a doubt, a sinner. And this is how sin works within a sinner. This is how sin works in a sinner and how the flesh tries to deal with sin. The flesh, the heart, the mind says, maybe nobody will know. Oh, maybe nobody will find out. Oh, maybe that'll stay quiet. Maybe that won't come out. Maybe those who know about it have forgotten. Maybe if it's not talked about, maybe if I could just stop thinking about it. Maybe if it would just stop going through my mind, maybe it'll go away. Here's the problem. It won't go away, will it? It just won't go away. It keeps coming back. We try to tell ourselves, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe it's not as bad as I'm making it out to be. But the shame we feel, the regret we feel, the guilt, it won't let us believe that. It won't let us believe that I'm making more out of it than it really is. No matter how badly we wish we could go back and change it, we can't. It's done. We're guilty. We're guilty, and we have no choice but to acknowledge that to God. No choice. It's my fault. It's my fault. I'm at fault before you. You come to that place where you can't rationalize anything. You can't. It's my fault. I'm at fault before you. Now, if you know what I'm talking about, if you can relate, if I'm describing you, then this gospel message is for you. This message of good news is for me and for you. Jude verse 24 says, He is able. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling straight into hell itself. And to present you faultless. I mean, faultless, without fault, without wrong, without sin, before the presence of God Almighty's glory with exceeding joy. He's able to undo all the blame that haunts you. He's able to erase all the shame you feel. He's able to remove all the fault that you're trying to hide. And He's able to present you openly, out in the open, before the all-seeing eyes of God. The eyes that see without, the eyes that see within. He's able to make you stand there so spotless and so pure, nothing could ever be brought up or be remembered, come into mind, that could possibly condemn you before the holy throne of God. Now, I'm going to tell us the absolute truth. All right, here it is. Here is the absolute truth. The gospel is for the guilty. That's who the gospel is for. The gospel is for the guilty. The gospel cries, this is the cry of the gospel message. It cries, take that burden of guilt and shame that you're carrying around because of that horrible sin, all of those horrible sins. You take the blame of it. Take the shame of it. Take the regret of it. The whole burden that's dragging you down into the depths of fear and despair and sorrow and condemnation. You take that whole burden to the Lord Jesus Christ and leave it there. Leave it all with the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll take it from you. I'll take it from you. The shame, I'll take it from you. The blame, I'll take it from you. The guilt, I'll take it from you. And He says, I'll do this because I've already taken the punishment from you. I've already taken the wrath from you. I've already taken the judgment, the penalty from you. I've already taken it away from you by laying it on myself. If you from sin, that reoccurring sin, that sin is real. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He alone is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The gospel is the most freeing thing that a guilty soul could ever hear. If a person is guilty, if a person feels guilt, everybody here has felt guilt. Guilt. The gospel is the most freeing thing that a guilty soul could ever hear. Our Lord said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Just like Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. What's the first thing they did? They hid from Him. They sewed these fig leaves together. They tried to cover what they were. They tried to cover what they'd done. They tried to hide from Him. Hide everything that they were before Him. But this is what God did in love and in mercy. This is what He did. He exposed their sin to them. That's what He did. Adam, where are you and what have you done? He exposed their sin to them. And then He slew a lamb. And He covered them with the skin of that lamb. And in doing that, He said to them, "I am your lamb. Now you've sinned. But I am your lamb. I will take that sin from you and I'll suffer this judgment. You see what I've done to this lamb? You see what happened to this lamb? You see the horrible outcome that came to the lamb? I'm your lamb. And I'll take all that sin from you and I'm going to suffer this judgment right here so that you can take my innocence, take my spotlessness, and stand absolutely faultless before the throne of glory." The gospel is for the guilty. Is for the guilty. The gospel, the whole reason God sent the gospel. You know, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole reason the gospel came was for the guilty. It came straight to the guilty. He said, "I did not come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners." The Apostle Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the chief." Boy, it's tough to admit that. He said, "I am the chief. I'm the chief." Turn over to 1 John chapter 1. It's back just a few pages. 1 John 1, verse 8. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." He is able to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. He's able to wash it all away. In what? "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Washed it all away in His own blood. Turn over to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verse 1, David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions." I acknowledge them. "And my sin is ever before me. Against Thee, Thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. But he said, purge me with hyssop, cover me in blood, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse 13, he said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways. Then I'll go to other sinners just like me, and I'll tell them all, the gospel is for the guilty. I'll teach transgressors thy ways. And he said, sinners shall be converted unto thee. Sinners. He said, they're all going to come running to you. He said, when I tell them the glory, the good news of all their sin being washed away in your own blood, they'll all come running to you. Where else can they go? Where else is there to go? Once a sinner hears that there is cleansing from all sin in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what the sinner will say. A true sinner will say this, that message is for me. That gospel is for me. I am a guilty sinner before God. And that's the greatest news I've ever heard in my life. It was to Jude. It was to John. It was to Paul. It was to David. It is to us. Greatest news we've ever heard in our lives. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Washed, sanctified, justified in Christ. Look at Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. That's what he chose us unto. When God the Father chose us and chose to put us in Christ, it was for this reason. To make us holy and without blame. Look at Ephesians 5. Verse 25, it says, Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. No spot, no wrinkle, no blemish. Without, within. In body, in character. None whatsoever. This is what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. This is what Martin Luther said. We had this in our bulletin recently, but he said, every time you insist that I am a sinner, you call me to remember the benefit of Christ my Redeemer, upon whose shoulders and not mine lie all my sins. Every time you remind me of the fact that I'm a sinner, you cause me to remember Christ my Redeemer, the one who all my sins were laid on him. In Christ, there is hope for a soul that's hopeless. How bad are you? After God reveals the truth concerning us to ourselves, and it gets so much worse than we thought it was, how bad are you? There is hope for a soul that is hopeless. In Christ, there is liberty for a soul that's bound. In Christ, there is purity for every soul that's filthy. And in Christ, there is blood for every soul that has sinned. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is for all who are guilty. Are you guilty? Are you guilty? The gospel is for all who are guilty. Our text, back in Jude, verse 24, it says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. Lord, you purge us and we'll be clean. If you wash us, we'll be whiter than snow. Amen. All right, Brother Eddie, you come lead us in a closing hymn.